before the lesson tonight, asked Brother Paul what the order was. And he said, well, since you're an old preacher, we're going to follow the old order. You know, two songs and a prayer. Well, I go back to the old time when it was two songs, a prayer, and one song. And then he said, there's two songs. But he does that occasionally. I want to thank you wonderful women for the good food that we had. It's very delicious. Brother Phillips said that it was complete. And he ought to know. I saw him take a break in the middle and head for the kitchen again. And as he went by me, he said, I broke my fork. The other day when he sent me an email, said, Brother Northern, would you preach for us next Sunday afternoon? I said, yes, and began to wonder, perhaps what to say on this occasion. Sometimes texts are elusive from you. A preacher can flip through his Bible looking in search for the occasion of a text, and it's elusive. But shortly after that, I was looking in, and there's a text that just jumped out at me and said, preach on this one. And that's in Deuteronomy, the 33rd chapter, in verse 29. That jumped out at me because the man who was writing this text was Moses. He's an old man at this time. He's 120 years old, and he's about to die. And he's looking back over, recalling all the wonders of the experiences with Jehovah from the time that he had brought all of the 10 plagues upon Egypt, how that he had parted the Red Sea and brought them up on the other side, how that he had marched through with them, and Moses had led them through snakes and rocks and all their murmuring and complaining and God taking care of every bad situation. And now he's come to the time that it's about time for him to go. And he's looking back over all of these 40 years of wandering. And he wants to encourage them. He knows he's not going to stay with them, but he wants to encourage them even beyond his death. And here are the words that he says, who is like unto thee, O saved people of the Lord? Who is like unto thee? Later we're going to show that it's asked again in a different way. Who is like unto our God? Who is a God above all gods? What better question can we ask ourselves this afternoon? As we gather here, you second milers, I like to think of those who would return after a nice food like we've had in a morning service, a good morning service, and you've come back this early as the second milers. You who do not say that 5,280 feet's my mile. That's it. But Jesus really says Christianity starts at the second mile. And you're here this afternoon, you've returned again because of that. Well, who is like unto thee, O saved people of the Lord? When I talk this afternoon, I do not want you to feel proud like the Pharisees. In fact, when I call our attention to the fact that we are the greatest institution upon the face of this earth, that should be humbling. That should bring us down in our tracks. Because the greatest one that ever lived upon this earth washed people's feet. And he says, you've seen what I do. Do you really understand it? He says, as I have done, so you must do. And by this, all people will know that you love one another. We engage in this exalted privilege of assembling together in this special presence of this hour. And this is a special presence because the last presence that you worship God is special. You may have worshiped him hundreds of times before. Many of you have. But this is extremely special. It's this time that we have assembled in the presence of Almighty God, Jesus Christ our Lord. For there's more than two or three gathered here together. The Lord God who designed us is with us and longs to abide with us, not only here, but forever in a place that he has prepared, been preparing for 2,000 years. And it's thrilling in the spirit and worship that we have at this moment. There'll never be another moment like this one. There'll never be another moment like this morning or last week, but this is the last one. So our text is penned by Moses reflecting over Israel's relationship with God, their deliverance, and his being with them for this 40 years in the wilderness. Who is like unto thee, a saved people of God? And while he was speaking of Israel, we, much more today after thousands of years, we much more can revel in that as we remember, as we partook of the Lord's Supper this morning and doing what he commanded, this do in remembrance of me. Who is a God like unto thee? And who is like the saved people of God that cost God the life of his only begotten Son? Think, here we are now at this time, today. Think of yourselves, if you've obeyed the gospel, as the saved people of God. No other people on earth can match that. There's no other family on earth like this. No other institution that ever cost the price of this institution. You here today, children of God, who respect the Bible as God wrote it, who believe of a man who speaks that he should speak, or when he does speak, that he should speak as the oracles of God, and who consider it a blasphemy to add or to take from the Word of God, a people who are seeking to be like him when he comes, not to be conformed to this world, but by being transformed, and that's your purpose in being here and why you were here this morning. That through the imbibing of his spirit and the drinking deep of the word of God, that we can be transformed out of this world in spirit. So that we can be like him when he comes. So that, as John says, that we can then stand before him at the judgment day in all boldness and not have our head down in shame. And if we do that, it starts here by us saying as Christians, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. You who are gathered here this afternoon, who cherish the Lord's church as the family of God, and consider such fellowship as we're enjoying here at this time as a jubilant joy, but fleeting and vaporous. What is your life? It's just as a vapor that appeareth for a little while. Now, people gathered here this evening, my brothers and my sisters, who seek to have the mind of Jesus, where our spirits blend with his spirit, so that, as Paul said in Romans 8, that we are the children of God, and we bear witness, and his spirit bears witness to that fact. Who is like unto thee? Look at yourself. Look deep in your heart. Who is like unto thee, O saved people of the Lord? God so loved you, he so loved me and all of us together, that he says, in my Son, I'll die for them. And what a pitiful death it was that our Lord suffered. So Moses asked also, not only, who is a people like unto thee, but in Exodus 15 and verse 11, he says, who is like unto our God? And he adds here, who is like unto our God among all gods? We can ask that question again. I think that very likely that Moses had in mind all of those puny gods of Egypt that Pharaoh trusted in, and God had made a mockery of them, that God had shown them up to be nothing. They could do nothing to counteract the word of God. Who is like unto thee among all the gods? And surely we could ask that question today of the God of this world, or the gods of silver and gold, or whatever we have that's materialistic in this world. As Jesus said, what have you gained if you've gained the whole world and lose your soul? We who come here together this afternoon are all those people, and we are here because we would not want to trade that for anything under God's Son. Right? Amen. Amen? Yeah. Well, he says here when he mentions this in Exodus 15:11, that there are three great helps that God offers in times of need. Who is like unto our God? Because the Lord is our shield of help, he says. That shield, according to Paul in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, is the shield of faith. We are gathered here this afternoon because we have the shield of faith before us and behind us, that we can thwart the darts of the evil one. We're not gathered here just because we're commanded of God. That's for children and first baptized and like we were years ago. But surely now we've reached the age that when we come together, as we are now, we are not here because we're commanded, but because it's written upon our heart. And that's why we're here. That's why we say amen. So the Lord then is our shield of help, and the Lord is the sword of thy excellency, he says. Ephesians 6:7, take up the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, whereby then that we can go to battle with the enemies that are about us. And these enemies are not carnal warfare, but these are great, the great spiritual warfare that does combat with our soul. And without then the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith, we are nothing. But God says, oh, what great God he is, I will be with you in all of this. For the Lord will subdue thine enemies. He subdues our enemies in 2 Corinthians 10th chapter and verse 13 because he says, I am with you and I will not allow a single one of you to be tempted above that which he is able. You have a God in heaven that's looking after you. And here we are in all kinds of midnight of darkness and temptations. And he says, I'll never leave thee and I'll never forsake thee. And we sing that song, Paul. Hold to his unchanging hand. God who never changes, and Jesus Christ who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, who is like unto the Lord? But we also ask, look at ourselves, not bragging, not boasting, but who is like us, beloved? John was filled with this rapture in 1 John 3:1 when he said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Now think of that. I'm a child of God, child of the Almighty God. And John says, behold, think of that, that we're called the children of God. And he's promised that he'll never leave nor forsake us. And beloved, here is something you can't match anywhere. Our God will send escorts of angels to your death couch to receive you. How stupendous is this thought? What would you trade that for? If you were to leave this before you leave this audience, don't say it can't be done. Paul in Mississippi, the song leader, got up to lead a song and fell over like that. Anybody can. There's one on further back that was going to wait on the Lord's table. He fell over at the Lord's table dead. We do not know our future, but we know who holds the future. And so think of it. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And when your body is turning cold, and when the breathing is hard and labored, and when you're slipping on the other side, there is the deep hope down inside of your heart that angels will be standing around my couch when I get on the other side. Where do you base that, Brother Northern? What about Lazarus? You know, when the angels came. And we even sing that song sometime, when the angels come for me. We don't know all about that, but it's comforting to know that even we will not die alone. Usually, Christians gathered at this have someone around the death couch on this side. But not for a moment you'll be alone, for when the breath leaves on the other side, there's that group. Thanks be unto God like that. So let us then join hands and let us blend our voices with a shout of Amen. He says, if we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. Amen. It says, be ye holy, even as He is holy. Amen. It says, then sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready to give an answer to all those who would ask for the hope that lies within you in meekness and fear. Amen. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless in affliction, in the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Amen. So then, when we think of this, all the outbursts of praise for the majesty of God are not contained in the Old Testament. Wonderful ones in the New Testament. John in Revelation 1:5, unto Him who loved us and washed us, made us to be kings. He was overwhelmed at the thought of being a child of God. Paul in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That's enough to make anyone thrill. James 1:17-18, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there can be no variation and neither shadow and cast of turning. Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits for His creatures. And so as they offered the very first of everything in the Old Testament, the first of their flocks, the first of the fruits and so on, so we offer unto God the first fruits of our life also. You know, I think of others. I think of Peter also. Not only of John, Paul, and James, but Peter said, who of his own will bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you're healed. That's us, beloved. That's us here now. And all they were trying to say is, who is likened unto our God, who saved us in all of this world? Nothing can be compared to Him. 1 Peter 1:24 and 25 can't be compared to the world. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of it as the fresh of grass. The grass withers, the flower falleth. But you're here now to hear that, which lasts forever. The word of the Lord will last forever. Feed your souls on that. That's why we're here. Because that's what lasts forever. And so then, all the thrilling awe and all the praise should not be confined either to the early church. It should be deeply rooted in our own souls and hearts. Who is like unto thee, a people saved by the Lord? Have I been in some weak way able to stir your hearts to feel something of that? Can you say that in your heart this afternoon as we're gathered here, who is like a God unto thee? And when you think of our brothers and sisters, who is like unto thee, O saved people of the world? We are citizens of the eternal kingdom of God, who promised us eternal life, a God who cannot lie. That blessed hope rests upon an eternal sacrifice. It rests upon a vacant grave in Jerusalem. It's vacant. You know, man has raised ships from the depths of the ocean like the Titanic. And he has found bones that he claims that are thousands of years old. But he cannot produce a single bone from that grave in Jerusalem. And he never will. I hope in some way I've helped you to be a bit more elated in heart and praise for a God like our God, for a brotherhood like we're in, to love God with all of our heart, and to love each other. If you're here this afternoon and not a Christian, look what you're missing. Jesus put it in these words when he said, pray like this: Our Father, which art in heaven. If you're not a Christian, you can't pray that prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. Because you have to be born again, begotten of God, before you can say our Father or my Father. But he that is born again is one who has been buried in the watery graves of baptism by the command of God, raised to walk in newness of life, Acts 2:38, Romans 6, 3 and 4. If you haven't done that, you can leave here saying, my Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And if you brought damage to the church, reproach upon this lovely body of Christ, that is terrible, but God says, I'll forgive you. And everybody else that's Christian will forgive you if you will simply say, I've sinned, would you pray for me? And that invitation is to you to come while together now we stand and sing.